Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Senior High Youth Ministry. We are so blessed that you've chosen to join us today. And if this is your first time here or your first time in a while, it is a perfect Sunday to be here because we are starting a brand new series called Mature in Christ, where we're going to go over our mission, our ministry's mission and vision. And as we go through this five-week series, we're going to tell you guys why we as a church, why we as a senior high staff, why we do what we do, and why we want all of you guys to join us in what it is that we do. Because as you guys are here in this ministry, you know, you guys have 4 years in this ministry. And as you're here in this ministry, you're going to get exactly out of it what you put into it. So if you're coming to service and you're coming to small groups and you're just here to goof off and mess around with your friends or you're sleeping through messages and whatnot, you know, you're not really gonna get anything out of it. But if you come to service, if you come to small groups, if you come into this room eager to spend time with the God who created you, if you come here with a heart that's focused on the Lord, focused on discovering who he is and engaging his people, you will receive what he has prepared for you that day. And it's not even that you're going to receive from me or from Corinne or from Todd or even from your leaders, but you're going to receive directly from the Lord himself. So before we even get into anything today, I just want us all to take a moment to surrender everything to Christ. Whatever is on your mind right now, whatever is on your heart, I want you to give it to him now so that you can focus your eyes on him. So let's all bow our heads and just take a moment to pray to the Lord. Father, I know there's so many distractions, God. There's so many things that can get in the way of a proper relationship with you. Lord, even as we come into service on a Sunday morning, God, there are serious things that people are dealing with at home. There are difficult things that people are dealing with in their lives. So, Lord, I pray that we would all be able to surrender that to you as we come here to learn about who you are, to understand the God who created us, and spend time with fellow believers. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to surrender everything to you as we come together to worship you today. In your mighty name we pray, Lord. Amen. So like I said earlier, the series that we're going to be going through is called Mature in Christ. And it comes from the new vision statement of the Senior High Ministry, which is that we want to see every student, if this will work, is that we want to see every student graduate from the Senior High Youth Ministry as a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to see every student graduate from the Senior High Youth Ministry as a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. And this comes from Colossians 1:28, which is our theme verse for the ministry, which is him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and it comes at the end of a short section where Paul is talking about how he rejoices in his ministry sufferings because he is joyful as he is serving the church. And this is why he does it. He does it. He toils, he suffers, he struggles. He goes through everything that he does joyfully for the sake of presenting everyone as mature in Christ, as mature disciples of Christ. Other versions say as complete in Christ. And similarly, that is what Todd, Corinne, and I, that's what Noah, Amos, and Marissa strive to do. In fact, this is the purpose of the church as a whole. Everyone here at RBC, our hope and our desire is to see everyone under our care be transformed, not by us, but by the Holy Spirit, to then be made a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. So in the 4 years that you have with us in this ministry, we pray that you would be transformed and sanctified and that you would leave the ministry being more like Christ than you were when you entered the ministry. That's the hope. That's the goal. That is the prayer for each and every one of you. We pray that you would leave this ministry mature. But what exactly does that look like? Right? What does it look like to be a mature Christian? Because that word could just be thrown around. That word can mean a variety of things. So what exactly does maturity look like? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Now, we're going to be looking at something that is not by any means an exhaustive list, but we're going to be looking at some of the things that mature Christians do. And we're going to see how we can mimic these things in our own lives. And all of the things that we're going to look at, they're pulled directly from Scripture, directly from Acts chapter 2. So if you guys would turn your Bibles to Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, this is an example of mature Christians. This is an example of what mature Christians do. So real quick at your tables, what I want you to do is I want you to look at this passage and pull out a few examples of what we see the early church doing that we can apply to ourselves today. Take a few minutes to do that and then we'll come back. All right, let's bring it back. So what are some examples that we see, of things that we see the early church doing that we can apply to ourselves today? What are some things that we see? Yes, sir. Hayden Gravy. They broke bread in their homes together. Yes, ma'am. They gave up everything to support one another. Leah, was your hand up over here? They did it with a joyful and glad heart. Yes, ma'am. They did it in fellowship. Fellowship. I like that word. They did it day by day. Squash. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. I think I saw one more hand over here, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, sir. They devoted themselves to prayer. Man, you guys are on fire. we see a lot of things that the early church did together. And this is exactly where we kind of get our five main ministry purposes. What we see is that the early church gathers together. They gather together for fellowship, for meals, for prayer, right? The early church grows together. They do this by devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles and also to prayer, as Rex said. The early church gives. They give of their time, their treasures, and their talents to serve one another and to serve the people around them. You know, when it said that they were selling all of their possessions and distributing it as each of them had need, that's what the church was doing. And the early church goes, right? They go out to bring new believers. Right at the end, it says that the Lord was adding to their number daily. This wasn't happening by mistake. People weren't just riding by on their donkeys, and they were like, "Oh, what's going on in there?" No, but they were going and they were sharing the word of God. And by the grace of God, people were being added to their numbers daily. And they did this all to glorify God. They did this all to glorify God. They gather, grow, give, and go, all for the glory of God. And if you've never heard this before, this is actually what RBC calls we call these ministry purposes the five G's. That's what the church as a whole calls it. And that's also what we aim to do here in our ministry. If you could throw our mission up on the screen, our mission here in the senior high ministry is to create a safe environment where students can gather with other believers, where you guys can grow in your faith, where you can learn to give back to the local church and the community around you, and to go out and reach your non-believing friends with the gospel. And this is all done. The reason that we do all of this and try to create this environment where we teach you guys to do things and show you what you can do with these things is with the goal of consistently glorifying God with your lives. That's what we aim to do, and that's what we want for all of you as well. And this is our mission because we believe that this is how we create mature disciples of Jesus Christ. So over the next 5 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at different ministry purposes. We're going to look at one of the five G's every week. We're going to look at why we do them and how they help us become mature and complete in Christ. So this week, we are focusing on gather. We're focusing on gathering, on getting together, on just being together. And for most of you guys, that's probably your favorite thing to do here out of the five G's, is to just gather and to be together. Yes, I'm seeing some head nods. You got, except for Landon, apparently he doesn't like being with you guys. But you guys love being together. I see this. I don't have to tell you guys to gather, right? You guys don't just get together on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, but you guys are constantly hanging out with each other, spending time with each other, playing games together, doing whatever teenagers do. I don't know what you guys do, but you guys are always hanging out together. In fact, the other day, I'm just sitting in my apartment and Sam and Theo just show up at my door. Don't give anyone my address. Just show up at my door and they're just hanging out together. And then they leave my house and they're like, yeah, we got to go hang out with some other people. Great. You know, I don't have to convince you guys to gather. And it's great that you guys all want to hang out together. It's a blessing that you have this community to be able to do that. But mature disciples of Christ don't just hang out together, but they actually fellowship together, as Malia was saying. They fellowship together. Now, what is the difference between hanging out and fellowship? What's the difference? I'm asking. Yes, Micah. What was that? The focus. The focus. All right, what else? What's the difference between hanging out and fellowship? What is the focus on when you're in fellowship? Yes, God, right? When you're fellowshipping, the focus is on God. The focus is on Christ. Fellowship at its core is based around the Lord. Now we see the word fellowship used in Acts 2:42, and it's this ancient Greek word, koinonia, if you can go to that next slide. Koinonia, it's a deep communion or a joint participation in a shared life. And for us as believers, that shared life is centered around who? Okay, it's centered around who? Christ, Jesus, God, yes. It's centered around God. Once we become followers of Christ, we are instantly a part of a community and instantly a part of a family that has the same goal. To, as RBC as a whole would put it, the main service would say, to know Christ and to make him known. We in senior high would say, to discover God and engage people. Yes, to discover God and engage people. That is our main goal once we become followers of Christ. Our whole life's purpose should now center around this goal of knowing Christ and making him known, of discovering God and engaging with people. This communion and joint participation in a shared life is, it's so much deeper than surface level conversations. And it's so much deeper than just following each other on Instagram and different social media platforms. What the early church did together was they did life together. They supported each other. They deeply knew and loved one another. They held each other accountable. And what we see from these mature Christians in the early church is that, like I said, they were doing life together because they all had the same goal in life. It says they were doing these things daily, right? That means it was important to them. That means it was essential to them. Everything that we see them doing here helps them become more like Christ, and it also helps them to serve Christ in his kingdom. But the first step to that is that they were actually gathering together with a purpose. They gather together with a purpose. And the reason that this is the first step, the reason that this is so important, is because when we talk about the five G's, gather, grow, give, go, all for the glory of God, when we gather together, we are then able to do everything else more effectively. When we gather together with the shared purpose of discovering who God is and engaging people with his word, we're able to better grow as disciples of Christ. We're able to better give to each other and to those in need around us. We're able to go out in the world and to proclaim his name. And we are doing it together. And when we're doing it together, it's a lot easier to be consistent in glorifying God with our lives. Now, I'm not saying that you can't grow as a disciple alone. I'm not saying you can't give back to those around you alone. I'm not saying you can't go out and proclaim Christ on your own. And I'm not saying you can't glorify God on your own. But this is the way that the Lord has set it up. Genesis 2 says that it's not good for man to be alone. The Lord, from the very beginning, wanted us to be in relationship. In fact, God himself, the triune God of the universe, is the perfect example of that. Fellowship with God the Father, with God the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And we were made to be in relationship with God and with each other. And like I said, when we're gathering first, when we're doing it together, it makes it a lot easier to consistently glorify God with our lives. And this just became so incredibly real to me when I first moved to here to Virginia. Because for most of my life, I didn't really have a strong Christian community. You know, my dad started his church when I was in the sixth grade. So, you know, I got to go to like 3 youth group meetings or something like that. And so he started his church when we were in sixth grade, and we left the church, not quite as big as RBC, but fairly big. We left a church that was pretty large, where there were lots of people my age and just lots of people in general. And we started a church where there was no one my age. And in fact, some weeks it was just me and my family there. You know, and it was tough. It was hard not having anyone my age, not really having other people besides my family, to really gather with. You know, even when I was in college, I struggled to find true community. You know, I was a part of a church, but it was tough for me to connect because I went to an off-campus church. I really enjoyed the pastor. I enjoyed his preaching. And so I went to an off-campus church. And there weren't really other students there. You know, I connected with some good mentor figures while I was there, some of them that I'm still friends with to this day, but still, community was a challenge for me when I was in college. But, you know, I had never experienced it before, so I didn't know what I was missing out on. But once I moved here to Northern Virginia, and I came to RBC's Young Adults for the very first time, it changed my entire view of what community could be. It showed me the extreme value of gathering together with believers. Here I was on a Thursday night in a supplemental church service with people my age who cared about each other and who loved the Lord. And from what I saw, even from the very first night, they encouraged one another, they prayed for one another, they sharpened one another. When I first came to RBC, this is really the first time that I genuinely experienced Christian community. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. And I don't think I've ever grown so much in my life as when I first moved to Northern Virginia. And I was experiencing Christian community with others who were sharpening me and pushing me and praying for me. And I was praying for them. And we were encouraging each other. And we were learning scripture together. It was amazing. And it led to me having this huge spiritual growth spurt. Because when you're surrounded by other believers that encourage you and hold you accountable, you're going to be able to do all the other things more effectively. Does that make sense? All right, you're going to be able to grow more effectively. You're going to be able to give more effectively and go and all those things more effectively. So for believers, gathering together is not optional. It is essential. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, if we can get that on the screen, it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Hebrews says that we should not neglect to meet together. But it's more than that, right? He's not just saying, all right, guys, hang out. It's good for you. Socially, it's good to be with friends. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But what else does he say? Right? He says, don't neglect to meet together. But then he says that we need to stir up one another to love and good works. He says that we need to encourage one another, right? Guys, the Christian life is hard. And following Christ's example can often be hard. But this is one of the reasons why we gather together. Because when we gather, we can encourage one another in love and good works. When we gather, we can help sanctify one another. When we gather, we can hold one another accountable and push each other towards Christ. This is fellowship. This is joint participation in a shared life that we talked about earlier. A very, very, very practical example of this from just a few days ago. Oh, man. Guys, I love my sisters. I do. I promise I do. But they can be a lot for me sometimes. They can really frustrate me sometimes. And so all my sisters are in town right now. They're all staying at my oldest sister's house in Woodbridge. And my sister asked Londi and I to go with them to Beat the Bomb. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. Beat the Bomb in D.C. Yesterday, and to go to lunch and everything. And I was like, no, like, I'll do anything you guys want to do that's free, but I'm not trying to spend all this money just to hang out with my own siblings. Like, if you guys want to hang out at your house, if you want to come to my house, I'm fine with that, you know, and I kind of left it at that. And, you know, Londi, being the great wife that she is, was like, I think it'll mean a lot to your sister if we go tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, I bet. You know, not really wanting to go. Again, I just don't want to spend all that money. You guys know how expensive DC is. Anyways, Londi was encouraging me to love and to good works, right? She was encouraging me because it's not like it would be different if I knew that my sisters were strong believers, strong followers of Christ, and I could just say, no, whatever, I don't want to go. But everything that I do to my sisters is an example of Christ's love, right? Is an example of Christ himself. And so Londi here being the encouragement and pushing me to do what I genuinely knew was right in my heart but didn't want to do. But because she was there, she was able to spur me on to love and good works with my sisters. And honestly, if it weren't for her, I might not have gone yesterday. And I went and I had a great time and I spent $150. Whatever. Parking at the wharf is like $30. Whatever. I'm glad I went. It was good. It was a blessing. And it meant a lot to my sister. But this is fellowship. We spur one another on. We encourage one another. We uplift each other. So I want to ask you guys a question, and I want you guys to take a moment to consider. Right now, outside, and I'm talking about outside of church, outside of a Wednesday night, are you gathering with a purpose? Are your gatherings with your friends and other believers building you up? Are your gatherings making you more Christ-like? As you gather with other believers, are they helping you grow as a mature disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you experiencing true fellowship with other believers? In fact, let's take a look at these questions and let's take a minute to just talk about some of these. Take about five minutes to answer the following questions. One, do you feel like you're experiencing true fellowship with other believers? Two, when you gather with other believers, do you feel like you're growing as a disciple of Christ? And three, do you agree with the fact that gathering is essential for believers? Take a few minutes, discuss those questions, and then we'll come back. All right, guys, let's bring it back. I hope you had a good discussion there. But you know, so far we've talked about the importance of gathering as believers and, you know, what true fellowship is. But today, and, you know, I'm going to try to do this with each of these messages, but today I want to give you guys a very practical challenge to help you grow into mature discipleship with Christ. And something I think that you guys all need to understand as we talk about gathering is that, yes, it's important. One of the reasons we have church is to gather, right? But gathering that we're talking about, it doesn't just happen within the walls of a church. But it's important for us as believers to gather outside the church as well as individuals. And I'm so glad that I sat with this table right here, because they actually, some of what they were saying really plays well into this next point of, you know, like, they feel like they grow better when it's in smaller groups of, you know, maybe 1 to 3 or something like that, instead of like the big small group when we're all with our friends and laughing and hanging out and stuff, you know, and I can relate to that. I think that that's really true. So I appreciate all of your contributions to that. But so today, what I want to challenge you guys with, I want to challenge you to build relationships where you're gathering together outside of regular church times and genuinely experiencing fellowship together, right? Because one of our goals as believers is to do life together. We're meant to support one another in difficult times. We're meant to rejoice with one another in good times. We show love to one another and we encourage one another. And that's what a discipleship group does. Now, when I say discipleship group, I'm meaning something different than your normal Wednesday night small group. But when I talk about a discipleship group, for example, for me, every single Wednesday, I meet with David Wright and Noah Smith. And Amos Smith recently joined us. And it's kind of just like a young ministry worker discipleship group. And what we do together is we are on the same reading plan, we read scripture together, we talk about it, we hold one another accountable, and we encourage each other through the difficult times. So when we talk about a discipleship group, here are some key points for how you should go about it. A discipleship group should be a group of 2 to 3 believers of the same gender. Now, why I say 2 to 3 is because once it gets bigger than that, one, it can be really easy to get distracted and get off task, and two, when it's 2 to 3, that allows you to be super intentional about focusing in with people, right? If I'm here with this group, it's going to be so hard for me to every single week check in with Jen, then Marillo, then Hugo, you know, then she, like, it's going to be hard to continue going with everybody. If it's just me and Marillo and Hugo, right, I can easily check in with 2 of them every single week. So that's why we say just 2 to 3. Now, the next thing, and this is the most important thing, is that it should be centered around Christ-like transformation, right? I'm not asking you guys to form social clubs here, but what I'm asking you to form is groups where you're actually devoted to being more like Christ, groups where you're devoted to transformation, to sanctification, that is, becoming more like Christ. And lastly, it should be a tool to help hold one another accountable. That's a super big part of gathering, is we get to hold one another accountable, right? We cannot do it all on our own. And we'll get a little bit more into this later, but what I'm asking you guys to do when you form these discipleship groups is I want you guys to do these three things together consistently. I want you guys to form groups that pray together. I want you guys to form groups that learn together. And I want you guys to form groups that can encourage each other. Let's start with prayer. Now, prayer is unfortunately something that often gets the short end of the stick when it comes to the Christian life. But the Word of God constantly talks about the importance of prayer, right? Acts 1:14, all these things with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Pray all the time. The Bible puts such a strong emphasis on prayer, and yet for some reason, we as believers, we just seem to forget that. The early church devoted themselves to prayer and to group prayer in Acts 2. In most of his letters, Paul will remind the church that he's writing to that he's praying for them. Prayer is an essential part of our faith, and group prayer has incredible value in the Christian life. Right, when we pray together, we begin to see several things that happen. One, we see sin come to light as we profess and give our prayer requests. And, you know, I just say, like, oh, Todd, I'm just really struggling with anger right now. Can you pray for me? We see those things come to light. We also see intercession and humility as we pray on the behalf of others. That is to say, I pray to God on your behalf. We also, when we all gather and we pray about something, we're better able to understand God's will as he reveals it to all of us. And the Holy Spirit within all of us is communicating with one another and with God the Father. And we see believers encouraged, right? Have you ever been going through a tough time and somebody just comes and they just lay their hand on your shoulder and they pray for you? It is an encouragement to the believers. When we pray for one another, we see these amazing things happen. So as you meet with these discipleship groups that I'm genuinely hoping that you'll form and that you'll take seriously, I want you guys to pray together, and I want prayer to be a priority. Take intentional time to share prayer requests with one another, and not the surface level stuff. Seriously, and that's one of the benefits of having a smaller group, right? If you're in a small group with 6 to 8 people, you might not want to talk about how much you're struggling with hatred towards this one person in your class. You might not want to talk about the lustful thoughts that you're having to a whole group of 6 to 8. But when it's 1 to 2 people that you genuinely trust, you can share those deep things that you're dealing with. You can share the emotions of fear and frustration and anger and hatred and sadness and depression, because that is part of doing life together. That is fellowship. We share these things and we pray for one another, not just in the moment, but throughout the week. I want you guys praying for your groups as they continue to pray for you. And the next thing that we do when we gather together is we learn. We learn together, right? We see this again back in Acts 2. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Acts 2, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. 2 Timothy 2:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Another huge emphasis here is on Scripture, the importance of Scripture, but not just Scripture, but just taking in Scripture and teaching, you know, not necessarily just reading, but, you know, listening to sermons, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, talking about Scripture with your peers in your discipleship group. Because the Word of God is where we learn who God is and how to respond to the truth of who He is. This affects the way that we live. It affects the way that we talk. It even affects the way that we think. And when we learn by reading and taking in Scripture, we are inevitably transformed by the Word of God. But even though we know that the Word of God is good, it's not always easy to stay consistent, right? Raise your hand if you've ever struggled in staying consistent with your Bible reading. I'm going to put two hands up, because genuinely, I have struggled. But you know, it's the nature of our flesh that makes us struggle to read the Word of God, even though we know it's good for us, right? But one way to deal with this is with accountability, which happens when you meet and you gather together with other believers, right? If I'm every week on Wednesday, I know David and Noah are going to ask me, and Amos, David, Noah, and Amos are going to ask me, hey, what have you been reading in the Word lately? Or actually, sorry, we've been reading the same plan. So they're going to ask, hey, what'd you think of this chapter? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, it helps give me that level of accountability. And if I miss a day or two, or if I'm behind, like after I came back from summer camp or something, it's not that they're going to harp on me, but they guide me back with love. Gathering together on a consistent basis makes being consistent in the Word easier, and it helps us grow as a follower of Christ, which we'll talk more about next week. And lastly, as you guys gather together with your discipleship groups, it is so important that you encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. When we meet together, we should be building each other up, helping each other out in life, loving one another, and encouraging each other in Christ's likeness. When I meet with my discipleship group, yes, we encourage one another with kind words, but sometimes the encouragement is a challenge. Sometimes the encouragement is an admonishment. You know, when I'm struggling and going through a tough time, my discipleship group builds me up through truth and through Scripture. When I'm struggling to live a life that's glorifying to God, my group holds me accountable to the standards that God has given us. When I'm just feeling down or when I'm feeling overwhelmed, my group surrounds me with love and encouragement. Guys, no one does this Christian life on their own. We're meant to do it together. Like I said from the very beginning, God said it is not good for man to be alone. Gathering is the first step to building yourself in spiritual maturity, because when we gather together, we're able to more effectively do all of the other things that help lead us on a path of spiritual maturity. But remember that when we gather, we're not just hanging out, but we are fellowshipping. Fellowship is doing life together with Christ at the center. And the reason that we as Christians keep Christ at the center is because God is the one who created us. He created us to be in perfect relationship with Him. He created us to walk with Him, to love Him and to love each other, to be in relationship with Him and be in relationship with each other. But because of our sinful nature, because of our flesh, which is our human nature apart from God, because of that perfect relationship that God had created for us in the beginning was broken and is broken. And there's nothing that we can do to restore that relationship on our own. But that's where Christ come in. Christ, who is also God, comes down to earth. Because of the love that He has for us, He comes down to earth. He lays down His life to pay the price for sin, and he raises again 3 days later, which defeats death, which allows us to have that relationship with God, which allows us to be in proper relationship with God and with each other, which allows us to gather, not as friends, not as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. And now all we have to do to start that relationship with him is trust and believe in his death and resurrection for the payment that he paid on the cross for our sins. Ephesians 2 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. And if you're wondering how to start that life with Christ, with your Creator, the one who makes it possible for us all to gather, the reason that we gather, the reason that we meet together in fellowship, I would love, absolutely love to have that conversation with you. But for now, let's say a word of prayer, and let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. God, we thank you that we get to live in relationship with one another and in relationship with you, God. Father, I do pray that that you would help us as we gather, Lord. I pray that we would all take this idea of these discipleship groups seriously, Lord. I pray that we would meet together for prayer, for scripture reading, and for and to encourage one another, Lord. Help us to bless one another with our words, to build one another up, to support one another when we're down, Lord, and to rejoice with one another as we're up. God, I pray that you would put on the mind of every student here, Lord, and even some of the leaders who maybe don't have this right now, Lord. I pray you would put on each of their hearts the names of 1 to 2 people where they can truly gather with in love, in scripture, and in fellowship, Lord, so that we all may be transformed to be more and more like Christ. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.